Hello and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This is a series of conversations about designing better miniature games. My name is Mike. I design some miniature games. This guy's name is Glenn. He also designs some miniature games. And by golly, I have such a lust to design miniature games. I have miniature game ideas coming out the wazoo. I've got ring-bound notebooks full of half-considered, you know, dashed off after coming out of the shower, you know, wouldn't this be great? Every time I see a new game, every time I watch a movie, I'm like, oh, but it could be a thing with the movie, with the models, and it would be amazing. But at some point, you have to pick up a pen or type on the keyboard and start making a game. And worse than that, sometimes at some point you actually have to put like multiple months into making something which is both playable and worth playing. We can't make all the games that we come up with. And a question that's been burning bright in my mind over the last few weeks is, how do you decide what to work on? And this is not an intending to be like, oh, I've got so many game ideas, but like, I've got so many game ideas. Like, how do you decide what to work on? I've got some answers. Glenn, how do you decide what to work on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think it's weird for like designers to have more ideas than they can get to. It's like once or twice I've had people, because I've had a few successful Kickstarters, come by and like, oh, you know, could you develop a game for me? And it's like, the developing is the work, and I don't have enough time to develop all my own ideas. I could like produce something if you developed it, but I'm not gonna develop something with you. Like, because you're passionate about that idea, that you need to do that.
This is similar to the when you tell someone you're a games designer, they go, oh, I've got a game for an idea for a game, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You might steal it. I'm like, I don't need any more ideas, thanks. That would just upset me.
No, absolutely, absolutely. They're like, Board Game Geek is replete with people very mysteriously implying what their game is in case nobody wants to steal. We're crushed with ideas. Nobody wants to steal your idea. I don't want your idea. Take it away, please, for goodness sake. But how I decide what to work on next? I mean, I think I've spoken before about I have quite a sort of conveyor belt process of ideas. I mean, over here, that's the notebook that has like one line concept ideas of a thing that wants to be gotten to. And then they graduate through to like a piece of paper that's in a folder down here, which is like a paragraph of ideas. Or a pin board that's over there that's sometimes a page of ideas with some drawings. And then if those things keep coming back, they get written up into a you know, digital document. And then if it's like 4 or 5 pages or up to 4 or 5 pages of something that's about playable, play it. And if it doesn't have any more to it, put it online and move on, or sometimes return to it. If it has a potential to be something else, that gets put into like work in progress folders. And then there are things that get developed out into being like acceptable, you know, multi-page games. And that's where there's things that are like 40 or 50 page long docs sitting there waiting to be re-edited and redone.
And do you let that percolation just happen as and when it happens? Or are you staring at that page of one liners going, I really want this one to work. I'm gonna really work on this thing.
I find I like to have 3 games that are quite fully fledged at any sort of point, because I find that I work on one, and then when I finished going through a pass on that one, enough ideas have popped up on one of the others that I can really go in and do like a lot of stuff on that one, and enough to make it worth doing a full pass. And then usually, and that seems to be like 2 or 3 fairly full-fledged games that make that a sort of virtuous cycle. And so it's kind of a thing of, once one of those full-fledged games is finished to my satisfaction, I need something to drop out of the pachinko machine on a level. So it's the thing, so it's the Dead Men's Shoes, where it's like the thing that's most like but not fully developed drops in, so I want something else to drop up, and I want something else to come up, and I want something else to come up. And so it's like when that happens, I track back and go, well, which of these things is currently most attractive to me, or where something has clicked in the interim, and I go, I know how to fix that one now, you know. I very, very rarely do I get the sense of, oh, that thing that was only an idea fragment is calling to me and I must drop other things and go back to it. It's much more a sort of the hindbrain has been chewing on it. And when I look at it and I go, is there anything to this? The hindbrain goes, ah, ha, ha, yes, actually, the lads have been working and we've got this for you. Does this please you? And it's, oh, that's very good. Well done, you little subconscious goblins. I needed, we can write that down. You get a pat on the head. And then they get back to chewing on things. And so that's sort of my personal process. And
when it comes to that filtering, like, Are there external, you know, commercial, you know, size of, you know, is this super niche? Is this going to actually find an audience? Like, is this, you know, what other kind of considerations are you throwing in there? I mean, I know we've spoken before about, like, you definitely have a part of your process, which is like, is this a suitable for Kickstarter game or is this a something else game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally a strong believer in the power of a game designer is to make your life easier by the things you choose to design and the ways you choose to design them in. You know, I'm not sort of under contract by a game company, and so I'm relatively free to design whatever I want. I'm designing things to a brief. It's a brief that I write. But I'm looking for things that I think will fit into that and help me do the things I'm less good at, like advertising and promotion, by doing the things that I am good at, like designing something, you know, fairly free. So one of the reasons that Borders and Black Flags is one of the things that I'm trying to bring through to completion is I feel like that's a relatively easy sell on Kickstarter, as opposed to some of my more esoteric ideas. Because the weird thing about that that drives it is a relatively easy to explain concept. Oh, why do all the pirate games have a thing nailed to the floor? In this thing, stuff goes sliding back and forth with the sea. Obviously it does. It's a boat at sea. You fully comprehend what I'm talking about. Let's go. That's an easy sell. Plus, you know, pirates and shit. As opposed to What Ho, which is, you know, a PG Wodehouse skirmish game, which is a mad thing to try and sell to people.
Your game about, like, or your game about the cinematic gaze or whatever it is about.
That's one that's waiting to be sort of flipped up. I want to get back to that one, and that's something I think I really, really, really want to do. And so, like, to a degree, in my mind, I know that I want to do Borders and Black Flags on Kickstarter, and then I want to try something a little bit more esoteric. And so, like, What Ho is bubbling away there, and I'd like to try and find a way to get people to pay attention to that. And then there are more esoteric ideas, and depending on how the things have done, that will influence what thing comes forward. And then equally, there's what things I'm pitching to publishers. So there's, like, a game that I was pitching and a publisher's interested in it, but they want it to have more of a solo like mode to it. So it's like, okay, well, that's going back into the hopper to be solo moded. Or something like Puke Apocalypse, which was very much nothing when I pitched it and had to just be sort of run all the way through in one go. So I think the things that motivate me currently to have the thing as the forefront idea are quite commercial. And that's kind of because it's like I'm sure yourself, I've got 100 ideas. All of them interest me. It would be bizarre if all 100 of them were as esoteric or as commercial or as whatever, you know, as each other. And, you know, I try to do things that I enjoy and things that I try to think intelligently about in relation to their commercial probability, and then try and fuel the things that are an easy sell, you know, as to push the things that I know only me, you know, is ever going to publish, because it's batshit crazy. So that's my drive for picking things, and usually I've got something on the back burner that I feel will be relatively commercial, and when, you know, when things get picked up by a publisher, or you know, the commercial thing pops out on Kickstarter or wherever it happens to be, then it's like, have one thing that's an easy sell on the front fire, to get that developed, and then the other things can just be like slightly mad things that maybe nobody's interested in, you know, a general sort of not having too many eggs in a crazy basket sort of process, I think. I mean, you must have some way of choosing things. It's, I know you said before that it's like, wait until the muse hits, the frenzy of activity, see what's there afterwards. But there must be a little bit more of...
Well, I think that is very much how I get to the prototyping stage. So, like, I very much recognize the like page of one line ideas. In fact, I went through a process last week of coalescing all of the different ideas that I'd got from various different, I mean, I probably, you know, these are all the ones that were in the front of my brain. There are lots of other things in my notebook that I've long forgotten about, but like I coalesced all of those things into a single, a single section of the Notion wiki that I'm building for myself at the moment. And by writing a one-line pitch to myself of like why this is cool, discover the things that like, oh yeah, no, this is really cool, I'm really excited about this, or some things that was like, oh yeah, I can kind of see where that idea came from, but you know, maybe in another lifetime. But I think that like that loop of enthusiasm and where the muse comes from, like I am trying to be quite mindful about understanding how to trigger that and like, and to detect when it works. So I know that there are certain external stimuli that will really get me juiced up on a particular project or otherwise. And so I'm actually fairly cautious about consuming media that I think is adjacent to something that I'm working on. So this week I cracked open a book called The Art of Hammer, which is something that I've had in shrink wrap on my shelf for about 2.5 years for reasons that Glenn will deeply understand. And the reason I haven't cracked it open is because the sort of muse or the time to work on that hadn't really arrived. And now I'm like, I'm watching some Hammer movies. I'm consuming the like the visual artwork of that period. And that's getting me juiced up on a bunch of things that I'm working on at the moment in this area. And so like I have a set of, you know, Gaslands adjacent post-apocalyptic movies, you know, sitting there on my shelf, which I'm not watching, and I don't intend to just watch on the off chance, because there's a moment where it's like there's an intention of watching that movie will trigger watching some more movies, and then we'll be in like, you know, a 2-week sort of inspiration cycle. The same comes from graphic novels and literature and stuff. So that's one element of it, and that is sort of, it doesn't really answer the like how do I choose what to work on, but it's like the other thing that triggers what I do work on, and it's not like how do I choose, it's just like unavoidably like I start working on some things, is miniatures. So when I get excited about a miniatures, or I see some miniatures and I purchase some miniatures, or like I'm working on some projects, very very often the loop is like someone else wants to play a game, or a new game just got released from a, you know, reasonably large company. I acquire the game and all the miniatures and we play the game. And in preparation for that, I'm like, well, what would my game be like? So recently a good friend of ours, Rufus, delivered to my awaiting arms some just like glorious, like Rogue Trader era Space Orcs. And, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with these things. They're absolutely beautiful. He was like, I haven't painted them for 30 years. Like, someone needs to paint them. Can you just take them off me for a while? And so, like, there's a good example. Or, like, you know, when we were at UK Games Expo, I picked up some, like, 10 mil armies for Hobgoblin. And, like, when those things come out of the the library of opportunity and get onto the painting table, then like I'm immediately thinking about games to do with them. Like I'm wondering, like, what's the best and most awesome experience? If I had some old metal orcs, like, what would be the coolest thing to do with that? And so I guess why I'm worrying about this so much is that, like, that's a sort of bubbling primordial sea of constant ideas and constant stuff. And like at some point, I have to spike out of that and go, no, I'm going to spend like m more than a year working on Hobgoblin. And it has to be like not my sole focus, but like if I want to make a game to the quality that I feel my games ought to be, then it isn't like, it isn't tossed off in a week. It's like, okay, now I have to put like significant spike of energy on that.
Yeah,
So,
no, because
sorry, go
sorry.
ahead.
No, because it's interesting to me because what you've listed a series of like inspiration things. It's like this then inspires me to a thing. You've not said this is how I pick a project.
Yeah, so that's how I've got to the massive list of things. And then what I've been sort of going through at the moment is a few different vectors. And clearly the most important vector to me is how excited am I about this? Like, if this is something that I'm not excited about, like it's a cool idea, it's a good idea, it fits on a bunch of other vectors, but honestly, I'm not that excited about it. Then that is something that I am not going to prioritize. And there's a couple of maybe surprising things on the list of that, which I maybe won't reveal during this conversation. But the second is like an intersection of how complicated I think this thing is going to be. And there is a game design complexity, both like how fully formed is the idea or how much work is it going to take, but also like the overall spectrum of complexity. So a game like Hobgoblin, I wanted it to be very finely tuned, and so complexity came from the tuning of it, but it's actually a much less complicated game than Gaslands, which has more sprawl of factions and options, and it's a more complicated game design challenge. The second thing is like is increasingly the product complexity. Like, is this something that is going to be a complicated product to put together? And that's something that you've had to think about for a fair few years. I have been in a mode where I've been predominantly delivering manuscripts, and so that is a partial consideration, but the product complexity was relatively kind of known. But with Hobgoblin, I amped that up significantly by providing a whole like set of background fiction and narrative fiction and all this kind of world building stuff. And so another angle here is like, what's the word count and what is the word count made up of? And is it all just like, games design, or is it like creative writing and different kinds of things? And am I gonna have to provide a load of, am I gonna have to do a load of hobby towards this? So there's this whole like scale and complexity and cost piece that I'm beginning to look at, where it's like, well, one of my game ideas I might be very excited about, but it's very, very complicated. And so that's going to be more consideration is going to be needed to be able to put that to the front of the queue. And so then some other things have to come into it, which is like, okay, I'm excited about this, but like, is this really weird and niche? Because if it's really weird and niche, great, but I do want people to play my games. And if I'm only going to make like the cinematic gaze and it's going to take like a year and a half because it's really complicated and has an incredibly deep backstory, then like it's just not a good use of my life.
No, absolutely. And yeah, as I say, the two reasons that Boards and Black Flags is at the forefront is that everyone likes pirates, and do I think I'll be able to find some STLs for pirate miniatures that are relatively cheap and easy to get printed out and sold? Yes, because I've got three factions worth of miniatures sat on the table next to me because they were really easy to find. Whereas Wot Ho, I'm not going to be able to find a STL
Yeah.
Bertie Wooster.
I mean,
That's
I suppose
going to happen.
actually that's super interesting, because I don't really have ideas that you can't provide miniatures for. It's just like that's how my brain works. Like, I know you and I are different on this, like because the combination of game experience and miniature for me is all that these games are. Like, my game ideas are universally supported because they just inherently are. Like, that's how I think about them. And then I guess the other thing here is like the counterbalance to this is like I am thinking about the uniqueness of each of these ideas. So, I've got an idea for how to make a, quite cool skill-based, quite deep, maybe rogue-like, set in the underworld, universe of Rotwalden for Hobgoblin. Like, I want to make a dungeon crawler, but there's a ton of dungeon crawlers. Like, I know I could make a cool dungeon crawler, but like, that's a super crowded place. And so, can I do something like, is the thing that I'm doing really unique or unique enough to sort of stand out? And Gaslands obviously is a good example of something that is, yes, it's a niche, but it's also not very well. It's just not very well serviced as an area. And so Hobgoblin is a strange example because now it doesn't feel so much like it's a niche, but like, 2 years ago, is making a rank and flank game to a really high quality quite unique? Well, it kind of is quite unique at the moment. Like, there's only a couple of people out there doing the sort of thing that I wanted to do. And so I think like uniqueness versus like nicheness is an important sort of axes for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, I think there's also there's like unique or well known has different levels to it. Like I've had an idea kicking around for ages that I didn't quite have the final part to. And a little while ago I figured it out, and what it is it definitely is a Weird West, sort of genre game, and the mechanic says yes, this has to be a Weird West game. And it's like, well, that's really convenient because that's right about the perfect level of known enough to people who like know, Manaphone and things like that, but niche enough to still have a level of like independent designer sort of cachet to it. So it's like, well, that's the perfect level of genre thing. So that one, that's nice that that piece fell into place. That's one for pulling up and considering like in the very near future. And I think this is one of the
I
things
think, and I
about.
think genre is so important in this
Oh, yeah.
regard. Or, like, where, like, whether, because the other thing is, like, I have rejected ideas because they're in a genre that I know of, but I don't know intimately. Like, the things that I grok, like, I know I can deliver a really, either genres that are not deep and that, like, steampunk. I know you're pretty deep, but like there isn't anyone that can like call you out on steampunk. Like, it's not that deep, and it's weirdly sort of the same with post-apocalypse stuff. Like, you can't really call people out on post-apocalypse stuff, but like when I wandered into science fiction, like, whoa, okay, now there's a bunch of opinions, a bunch of reading, there's a bunch of background, like there's a lot of history here to this. So I think genre is like, pick some. I'm going for the worlds where it's like, I'm going to pick something that I'm really, really confident with, that I can defend my position because it doesn't come across as naive. It is deeply aware of the genre. Or it's something that's so shallow that like any fly by night can dip in and just be like, yeah, cool. It's like, it's steampunk, but it's all blood driven. Like, who cares? Whatever. Like, there's no tropes here.
No, yeah, absolutely, and I think it's not quite the sort of the heartbreaker idea, but it's a level of that heartbreaker thing where it's like, I understand the genre that I'm dipping into to the correct level required to produce the thing. It's like I was reading a thing about how to like write novels, and one of the and in fact it was the guy who wrote Seven actually writing about it, and he was saying is that you research exactly as much as you need to research to make the character that you're writing as smart as you need them to be. And it's like, I don't need to know certain genres like all the way through, but I need to know them to just the right level. Like with SSO, I mean, my process is, I think, different from yours in that I figure out the game and then I start sort of trying to immerse myself in the movies and things as research for ideas for factions and scenarios and things like that. And like writing SSO, trying to figure out all the different decks that I could do was a process of watching every sci-fi horror movie that I could get my hands on for a while, and adjacent to it, sometimes just sitting there with a notepad writing down good quotes to put on cards,
Right.
you know, and sometimes figuring out, oh, right, well, that's an actual plot point. That's good. That can go in the
Yeah, I'm
like
looking forward to
canon.
the Event Horizon deck.
Yeah, no, yeah. Event Horizon doesn't really work. But anyway, but that's the thing, because it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to learn as much as I need to fill in the imagery and the story and those sorts of elements. Because it's like, for me, it's often, okay, I'm interested in this genre, but I'm interested in how I can recreate that genre emergently and mechanically on the tabletop. And then I've done that, and now I need to go back into that genre to re figure out the stories and the shapes and the aesthetic of it, because I wasn't really concerned about that. I was concerned about, you know, recreating it, and now I've got to re-recreate it in order to sell it to other people. Because I think this is one thing that I think is really important, is about figuring, knowing what your path is going to be for your game. I know that for a lot of first-time designers, it's just about making the damn thing, you know, and producing it in some way, level, or form. And I don't want to be like at all sniffy about it, but there is like, if you're going into a path of trying to do this like more seriously, I think you need to think more about where a game is going, and you need to have more of a sort of spread of games available, so you can be a bit more, I don't know, professional, cold-blooded, however you want to put it, about the design you're working on, and be like, you know, I need to have plans for this thing, because it's not just for my fun. It's going to go somewhere. And I
And
often.
I think to peg onto that, like one thing that I've been thinking about is where have I got actual signals from things that I've put out? So like, I'll be honest with you, like Mystic Skies, I absolutely love that game. Like it's such an exquisite machine, and I think it's so much fun to play. I really think it's incredible. But I think I must have bodged the theme up, because like, even though it's been available for loads of months, you know, several years now, like we've never really managed to get the Facebook community to grow. Like I haven't really put any time into it, but like I know that that game hasn't spread by word of mouth, despite the fact that it's really good. And when you play it with someone, they should be able to go, oh, bloody hell, that's good. And it might be because there's only one scenario and it needs five more scenarios and then it would be fixed. But it also could be that the genre is wrong and that nobody really thinks that Wizards riding magic carpets is as appropriate or as cool in this, you know, in 2023 as it was in, you know, 1993. And so maybe I reskin it, maybe I dump it. Like that is a piece of data. Whereas, like, should I work on some more Gaslands? Like, ooh, okay, I've got some data that said that's worth doing. Should I work on some more, A Billion Suns? Grr, this is kind of difficult to, you know, that's right on the needle edge of the knife edge of like, well, I mean, it's got players and people like it, but it's, you know, it's had enough time now post kind of lockdown to sort of catch its audience. I haven't really done enough to like reignite it, but like the data that I have makes me, you know, a little bit leery about, you know, if I'm going to put 6 or 9 months into a game, is it going to be continuing to work on that one? It's tricky to know. So I think, you know, I'm in a position of luxury having some of that information available to me, but like, you know, when I'm thinking about, for example, like, should I be writing a science fiction battle game? Like, I'm playing a lot of 40K. I can see a lot of problems with it. Like, I know what the data says about people who've got science fiction miniatures, and it's real good. And like, you know, if I can make a dent in something that grabs people's attention, and I haven't found what that is yet, so I'm not working on something because I don't have something that feels unique. And if I found something unique that I could feel I could explain, as you're sort of saying, like, what's the path to explaining this to an audience? What's the path to market? Like, can I imagine a product, a place that I would put it, whether that's Kickstarter, whether that's, you know, digital release, whatever that is, and something that's unique enough to grab people with a market where I'm like, well, I know there's models here. You know, maybe then we're talking, but right now, although I've got strong signals on, like, there's a place that you could pitch into, like, I don't have the other pieces in place, so I'm not going to prioritize that.
Yeah, I think that, like, I mean, I think there's certainly, there's people who what they're working on is the idea that they've got, and that's, And that's great. And I hate the idea of suggesting that there's a hierarchy or a right and a wrong, because it's like work on what you want to work on and take it to the level and do the thing with it that you want to do with
And
it.
that's why I think it was why I wanted to just hear our two processes, because there's some overlap, but like they're just two processes and they're
Yeah,
just different.
absolutely. And see, this is the thing. I design games that I don't intend to go anywhere. And I design games for my own enjoyment, and sometimes I design things for the enjoyment of my friends. And if that is all you are doing, that is fine. That's great, in fact. That's lovely, because you don't have to worry about production baloney.
Yeah,
And
I've been really enjoying working on this game that Rufus and I play, which I can't publish. It's like it's great. It's been
yeah,
really
no,
good.
absolutely. It's a good thing
A
if that's
freeing experience.
yeah, it's a good thing if that's what you are doing. If you have or you want other things for whatever reason, whether it's because of you're an idiot or and you want to put things out there and you want a certain amount of recognition or whatever else it is, then I think you benefit from having like a colder eye to some things and accepting that some of your babies are not going to be beautiful to the rest of the world.
Wow, but I want to make all these games, Glenn. I want to make them all
And you
beautiful.
have to pick the ones that are going to win certain beauty contests and be easy to get eyes on. And I don't know, maybe your particular skill is like advertising and selling things, and it doesn't matter which one you pick because you're a master of that other side of it. I'm not, and I suspect that a lot of people watching this, that isn't their
We
strength.
have to rely on solid genre hooks.
Good, strong genre and gameplay hooks are your friend, and if you want to pitch a game to a publisher or you want to get it to sell on Kickstarter, look to those to be your guides to what to design. If you have nothing else driving you, if there's something that's put gets you on fire, design to that, because that's the best. That's ultimately the most important thing, is to be passionate about it. But if I've got too many things to be passionate about, and I'm as passionate about all of them, so I may as well do the one that I think will sell. Is kind of my feeling on it. So I assume a lot of people watching this are designing games and have different games to design. Maybe they only have one thing. Maybe you're at that level where you've got a bunch of ideas and no like full-fledged thing, or no full thing that's in development, and you've got to pick one of those ideas to see if you can become a game designer on. Tell us those ideas. We don't want them. You can keep them. But to tell us which ones you're struggling to pick from,
Yeah,
what's
and tell us
driving
how
you.
you're thinking about choosing between your children. Like, what are some of the things that you are using as criteria as you're sifting through this list? Like, what's a game idea that you stopped working on that you rejected for some reason other than you couldn't get the game to work? Like,
Yeah,
why are you rejecting game ideas? I'm super interested.
or if you've just picked one, if you've just picked your first ever like game to make into a full-fledged, 40, 50 page thing for people, tell us why that was the one you picked. Because I super, super, really genuinely want to know, was it a mechanic? Is it a genre? Is it just that it's in your head and you can't not design it, which I suspect is a lot of people like
Sounds like me.
on their first game. But tell us why. Tell us what drives you. Tell us what is driving you. Tell us what gets you moving on a project. What motivates you? If you're doing that and telling us those things down in the comment section, please hit the like and subscribes. And then swing by the Discord. There are a bunch of people in the Discord who are working on games, who are driven to work on games, who are inspired and have multiple ideas, and they can commiserate with you on the fact that there is not enough time in the day to work on them all. So swing by there and have a chat with them. Look me up on social media. Look Mike up on social media. Don't actually like say anything to him. Just look at his name there and then walk away again. Do look Mike up on Patreon to support the channel and what we do and what is being done here. But for now, from this episode of Rule of Carnage, I think it's a thank you and goodbye. So thank you and goodbye. Bye bye bye
Bye
bye.
bye.